Moncrief on News Talk.
He doesn't have a job?
A job? No. He's never had a job. He lives off trust money that we stupidly put in place for him and which we can't legally cut off now.
So where is he now?
Now? Italy. Some place around Naples called Atrani. Where from what I can gather, there's nothing to do but sit on the beach.
And paint.
And paint. Yes, that's good. I'm going to be honest with you, Tom. You're the first of Richard's friends who's even been willing to listen to me.
So what can I do?
What line of work are you in, Tom?
Insurance.
Are you? Well, there's always a need for that. Sales?
Accounting.
I don't suppose you have any vacation time coming up or leave of absence.
You mean to go there?
To talk to him face to face.
Of course, they take care of all your expenses in addition to a salary. That goes without saying. You think about it?
That's Ripley. You can stream the entire first season now on Netflix. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
This has been, I mean, there was the movie that a lot of people would remember, but as I understand it, there have been various screen adaptations of Ripley. Is it easy to tell if this brings something new to the screen?
Yeah, I think this is, I think Andrew Scott is the sixth actor to play Tom Ripley in some iteration. I think like some of it was French New Wave cinema, so perhaps not Ripley. But like, definitely, I suppose the one that I would compare this most to is the, I think it's 1999, one with Matt Damon and Jude Law, directed by Anthony Minghella. And what I think the strong case that this one makes for itself is twofold. First of all, it is shot in this very stark black and white. Right. So like that one, you know, it takes place in the Italian Riviera. It's all beautiful, sunny, like the 99 version, I should say, takes place in this like sunny, swept White Lotus season two inspirational, you know, locale where everything is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And even the people are beautiful, right? Like Jude Law at his most handsome and Matt Damon at his twinkiest, right? And basically here instead we get Andrew Scott, who is, I believe, you know, who's closer to 50 than he is 40, and the Dickie Greenleaf, that's the Jude Law role, is played by Johnny Flynn, a British actor who's 41. So the characters are aged up slightly. And the other advantage, I guess, that TV has over a motion picture is that it can take its time. And boy, does it. Now, I am one for saying I like things that are short and to the point, and this is not. This is long, excruciatingly long, lingering camera takes of awkwardness and tension, and I really liked it for that. You know, I got into the vibe very, very early on. And the thing about the black and white photography is, it's very, very stark, right? Like, as in, even though the images are all very beautiful, you know there's something missing, right? And that sort of all leads into the kind of creepy theme of the whole thing. And obviously, what we got in the clip there was the sound of Dickie's father, Herbert, hiring Tom Ripley, who is a con man. We see him at the very, very beginning, you know, working. He's kind of like an everyday con man in New York, going from grift to grift, struggling to make ends meet, and gets offered this free trip to Italy to convince a bon vivre son to come back, and he grabs on, and boy does he run with it. And Andrew Scott here, you know, he's coming off the very successful run of All of Us Strangers. A lot of people would say he was the snub of the season in terms of Oscar nominations, and he is arriving here with a big name show that is going to really propel him further on. Like, you know, I could easily see him being in awards contention for Emmys and things like this, because he really plays psychotic very, very well.
Right, okay. Also from the stills, he's rocking those kind of Cillian Murphy-style cheekbones too.
Yeah, they're normally hidden under a beard, right? So, like, I mean, like, look, the one thing I'll say here is if you've read the Ripley ad, which is, I think, what Patricia Highsmith's novels have been known, have become, I think there's like six or seven novels at this point. Well, there will be no more. But that, like, Ripley begins as a younger character. So they have made a bit of a bold choice here to go with, you know, a more middle-aged, shall we say, version of the story. But I actually think it kind of works surprisingly well, right? Like, if you watch the Matt Damon one, Like they're almost like he's almost too good looking. Do you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. like, well, what's his struggle? Whereas here you have Andrew Scott, who's a bit more senior, and because Dickie is even a bit more senior as well. And you know, I was reading up about Johnny Flynn, and he has scars on his face from when he was attacked by a dog as a child in South Africa, where he grew up. And I was sort of watching it, going like, even the Dickie is just like he's not perfect either. But you sort of understand why Tom is so swept up in his like enamor of the lifestyle that he gets to lead in Italy, this like carefree world of art and money and you know, drinking cocktails at 4 p.m. and not having anything else to worry about. Whereas if you're like a grifter on the sidelines, you have to make constant like decisions about what to do. I also really liked it because as a language teacher, there's a lot of speaking in Italian in it and the values of learning languages, which I appreciated as well.
So it's slow, James, but is it maybe a wee bit too slow? Might some people lose patience with it?
I could see that. I mean, there's one episode that is almost entirely dedicated to the silent getting rid of a freshly murdered body. Right. And as in, it is like the warts and all version of how you dispose of someone you've just taken the life of. And that is kind of lingering and dialogue free. And certainly that's not going to be to everyone's taste, nor indeed is the black and white, you know, photography. I can see why some people will want a more frenetic version of that. But if you're looking for that, you can watch Saltburn for 2 hours and it'll tell pretty much the same story.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, and I mean, you mentioned Johnny Flynn and Andrew Scott. The rest of the cast is pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, so you also have Dakota Fanning, who's who has managed, I think, quite well to go from child star to adult star. She plays Marge, who is the role that Gwyneth Paltrow plays in the movie. A much different version of that. Hers is like very steely looks, withering glare that she does exceptionally well. You have a very good Italian actor named Maurizio Lombardi, who plays Inspector Ravini, who has great scenes later on in the season. You have John Malkovich, who played a version of Ripley in cinema as well. Fisher Stevens, late of that HBO show about all those rich people, Succession, excuse me, and Elliot Sumner, who is the child of Sting and Trudy Styler, is that her name?
Right.
Playing the role of Freddie Miles, who's kind of this enigmatic friend of Dickie's that really suspects Tom. It is a stacked cast. It's all made by Steve Zalian, who wrote Schindler's List and The Irishman, which I have to admit I wasn't too mad on The Irishman, but he did the adaptation of The Night of a few years ago on HBO with John Turturro about, you know, this guy who wakes up beside a dead body. That was very atmospheric. He really sort of luxuriates in discomfort. And I really bought into the whole thing.
Yeah, the Irishman, even mention of the Irishman might put people off. That's still is a sore point during movies and booth sessions. Right, we'll move on to our second show today. It is Renegade Nell. You can stream the entire first series now on Disney Plus. Here's a clip.
Nice Freds. I could see myself parading around in them boots. In your own time. You're...
What?
Not a man.
And?
Is that gold?
Is what gold?
That ring on your finger.
Oh, yeah.
I think you might need to donate that to the cause. I don't think you heard me, lady.
I was just ignoring you. Little word of warning. You don't want to mess with me.
Oh, I like you. No, I do. You're my kind of woman.
Oh.
Sadly, business has to come before pleasure.
Right.
Now, do like you're told.
Right, is this kind of like it's historical highway people, but with superpowers?
Yeah, right. Now, and I know like that wouldn't necessarily sell it to me either. And then I was doing my research, and it's created by Sally Wainwright, who is like the absolute, you know, gangbusters creator of Happy Valley, Gentleman Jack, Last Tango in Halifax. So she is like, you know, she knows what to do. I mean, Happy Valley is arguably one of the most critically lauded series of the, you know, of the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her kind of post-grim Northern Police family crime drama romp into, shall we say, fantasy. And it stars Louisa Harland, late of Derry Girls, where she was Orla. And she plays Nell Jackson, who is, I believe, what was a real highway woman, stand and deliver style. And in this version of it, she is sort of guided through her escapades by Nick Mohammed, also well known. He's in the current season of Taskmaster, but also he is probably best known for Ted Lasso. He plays Billy Blind, who's this kind of nymph pixie sprite thing that appears at convenient times when Nell needs some performance enhancing magic to help her beat up various people. Now, what we get here is a bit of a mix. It's a bit of a hodgepodge of style, right? It is a very, very, like, look, it's got Disney Plus money, so it's very nicely shot. The costumes are all excellent. It is very well acted, and particularly Louisa Harland, who, you know, was, you know, probably many people's favorite Derry girl as Orla, the real spacey one, manages to showcase here her range. And, like, you know, in all the kind of debates about who gets to be James Bond, you're kind of watching her going, like, she could be James Bond, to be honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. She has this, like, incredible charm, brilliant accent work. She's very funny. She's very quick-witted. Her sense of comic timing is excellent. I feel where she's let down slightly is that this is a romp, right? So there's a lot of these action set pieces taking place on various highways and byways in forests, and they get a little bit repetitive, is all I'll say. Like, the, you know, when I'm watching it, I got a very much a vibe of, like, Saturday night, 5 p.m. on the BBC, you know, kind of Doctor Who meets Merlin meets that kind of level of technical fight work, shall we say. That's never been particularly my vibe, but lots of people love Doctor Who, lots of people like Merlin, so it'll find a family audience, shall we say. So in it, she plays Nell. She's returned after 5 years, presumed dead, to her family, and runs afoul of the local magistrate, who then very promptly takes her father out of the picture, and she's on the run for a murder she didn't commit. And in doing so, has to turn to a life of crime, but really, is she a criminal? Of course not, because she's our heroine. She's not quite an anti-hero. She's more like big sister anti-hero. And through this out, you know, it is a fun romp. I liked it more. The more I watched it, actually, the more I got into it. So I would say, if you give the first episode a go and you're not really digging it, I'd keep going. Because actually, the more I got into it, the more I found to enjoy. And really, it is a star vehicle for Louisa Harland. And I think what comes next will be more interesting.
Okay, right. Okay, well, that's I see what you're saying there. And people may have noticed there's a bit of a theme in today's TV on the radio. We have Andrew Scott. We have Louisa Harland. Now we have Colin Farrell playing yet another moody, tortured character. This is Sugar on Apple TV Plus. Here's a clip.
That type of Polaroid film was introduced in 1996. You were married to Rachel K then, weren't you?
You know I was.
Did you take that photograph?
No, I did not.
Thank you for telling me the truth, Bernie. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever love someone? I mean, really love them? Like, if the Grim Reaper came to you and said, I'm going to take the life of this person that you love unless you give me your life? Well, I would have. For Rachel. And Olivia is all I got left of her. And if you think that I don't care about my daughter, you and f*** you and f*** and I'm paying for your coffee. Thank you.
He's hiding something. Or at least they had a nerve. I mean, being told to f*** is usually a sign of progress.
Right, so Colin Farrell's... Is this... No, and this is not... I'm not dissing it, but this is kind of an old-fashioned private detective type story.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so it is very much built into that kind of 1950s crime movie scene, right? And it's created by a guy named Mark Protasevich. I wasn't familiar with him. His let's say his track record is variable. He wrote The Cell. He wrote the updated version of The Poseidon Adventure. He wrote I Am Legend. He wrote the first Thor movie. Like, none of those are five-star movies, put it that way, right? Yeah. And but it is directed by Fernando Meirelles, who is the Brazilian director of City of God and The Constant Gardener. And he also directed many episodes of the forthcoming The Sympathizer, which I think is coming to Sky Atlantic later with Robert Downey Jr. It's a version of a Pulitzer Prize winning novel that promises to be more interesting, to be honest with you. Like, I haven't saved the best for last, put it this way, right? Now, what you get often with Apple TV Plus shows is fantastic budget, great actors, good performances, but meh, right? Yeah. And to be honest with you, that's kind of how I felt with this as well, right? Now, Colin Farrell is also on a hot streak. He had an Oscar nomination last year for The Banshees of Inisherin. And he's got a mixed record when it comes to TV productions. But he's not the problem here. It's just that it's very derivative, right? Like, it's that cool 50s Hollywood style, except set in contemporary Hollywood, right? Mm. So it's a case of a missing girl. He is John Sugar, this kind of Renaissance man of private detectives, in that he speaks fluent Japanese and then later speaks fluent Arabic. And then also is able to, you know, solve every mystery and fight his way out of every bout, even though he regrets it. And he's this, you know, hard-living detective who's taking one last case when really should he or should he not be, that kind of thing, which are all tropes that we've seen before. Now, there is no inherent problem in tropes. Like, you know, they serve a purpose. We know what we're getting. And if you go into this thinking, yes, this is this hard gumshoe detective working his way around Hollywood, that is what you're going to get. However, I am led to believe there's some absolutely bizarre twist that comes midway through that the reviewer in The Guardian thought was the most ridiculous thing she had ever seen, that I don't know if... And ultimately, my problem is, I don't know if I'm even interested enough to get to the twist already, ooh, you know? Like, it's just fine. It's just fine, and there's a lot of just fine.
How does he go about the process of detection, though? Because, you know, in the 1950s, you'd go and see people. Or, you know, people pick up newspapers and that helps the story move along. Now you just sit down and Google everything. So it's just a guy sitting in his underpants on his laptop all day.
But it's a mixture of both, right? So what we heard in the clip there was him interviewing the father of the missing girl and it not going quite to plan as the interview goes on. He goes around, he profiles different family members to discover why this adult daughter has gone missing. And in doing so, of course, uncovers further mysteries and mysteries within mysteries that then disappear and reappear and so on and so forth. There is, he's got a shadowy boss figure who's played by Kirby, the now mononymous Kirby. She used to be Kirby Howell Baptiste, who was in The Good Place for a while. She's kind of a face you'd know without maybe knowing her name, but she's now just going by Kirby. She plays Ruby, who is his kind of shadowy boss type figure with whom he has a difficult relationship, but ultimately positive one. And it's all that kind of stuff. It's hard drinking, but it's not. It's hard living, but it's not. It's mystery that's not quite enticing enough to be interesting. That's kind of my problem.
Right, so those three shows today are Ripley. You can stream the entire first series now on Netflix. Renegade Nell, you can stream the entire first series now on Disney Plus. And Sugar, you can stream new episodes every Friday on Apple TV Plus. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.